on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Cielo.
Man, I was looking forward to a tough win on the road, and the most Iowa State thing happened. I was like, all right, man, what a win on the road at Arizona. And then he just heaves it, and then it goes in, and I'm like, dude, you have got to be kidding me. And I was like, I knew right then and there that we lost. And I'm like, well, thanks for coming. So I got to ask you, Cody, what are your thoughts on the Arizona loss?
I'm going to say this. I mean, the obvious big thing was that like three-point shot, which has divided a lot of people within the fan base. But I think this is another one of those games where it's like the little things really built up to what we had in this game. The two of the biggest issues that Iowa State had in the game were, number one, an inability to really close out defensive possessions and getting those defensive rebounds. And number two, hit like big free throws were pretty much a struggle. I mean, first half, they were pretty bad, I noticed, but second half got a little better, but that's still an area that needs to be like fixed.
Yeah, free throws. I will say they cost us that game, and like we were just getting bodied in the paint. Yeah, I mean our base couldn't get any rebounds at all or really any defensive rebounds, and they dominated us on the glass. So that was a problem, and then it was also dumb luck because the same dude that was 1 for 11 who hit that hit two more threes in overtime, and I'm like, you, and they hit three straight threes to end the game. I'm like, of course, a freaking course. So yeah, I mean, there's that, and then obviously, here's another talking point that everybody is talking about. I put to foul or not to foul. Like, what would you have done in that situation?
If I'm the head coach, if I'm in TJ's shoes in that, like, if I'm the one coaching the team, you're up three. It's 2 seconds left on the clock. I mean, personally, the probability of that shot dropping versus, like, three-pointers dropping, like, versus that three-pointer, they're very close. I mean, I think making the three free throws in a row off the foul, like, off the inbound or the shot or whatever, but also, or just foul in general, there is that argument. And I mean, what you force? Yeah, so you foul, and I think at that point Arizona was only in that regular bonus, so they would have only shot one and one, and they would have had to make both. So, me personally, I would have fouled. I would have fouled off the inbound catch. That's the big key. That's going to be the thing because you force a one and one, and you still are going to be up by one. But at the end of the day, I'm not the head coach. I am not the one in TJ Altenberger's position. Many different coaches have different philosophies when it comes to foul or not to foul late. I mean, I was even listening to Williams and Bloom before this, and Brent Bloom had like, so he's talked with like some of the women's basketball and men's basketball coaches, and he's gotten like different answers about whether to foul or not to foul. So there's so many different ways you can go at it. You don't have a definitive answer to do it in real time. Now, with the power of hindsight, it's easy to say that you should have fouled. That's obvious. It's easy to say that. But when you're in that real-time situation, there's so many different things that you like that could be possible that you stick with the one that you believe gets you the best chance to win. And if the other team makes a better play than that, then you can't even be mad that it's a bad choice. It just happened to be the wrong choice. Like, that shot was a one in, like, what? Like, 25,000 or something like that. There is, yeah, like, some low probability, like, low odds, but there's still odds. But at the end of the day, there is no definitive answer. But me personally, I would have fouled. But I mean, I open the floor to you because that's just where I stand in this whole thing.
Like you said, it's easy to say that you should foul. I wouldn't have fouled, like, because we just said that there is a low probability of that shot going in. Like, obviously, I know we can be, like, emotionalized fans sometimes, but, like, at that point, I'm like, you know, probably, you know, DM up a bit more, but, like, even DM up, like, I just chalk it up to, man, hats off to Arizona. Like, I just, for that type of shot, I'm not even getting angry about that. It's just,
yeah.
Like, it's a lucky shot.
I mean, the thing is with that shot, it didn't look like it looked like he was just taking a regular jump shot with the way he shot that. So I think it's just like maybe playing a little better defense. But again, that shot is has low odds that you don't expect him to make that. You don't expect that to be made on a regular basis. That's just like one of the thousand shots that people take in that similar scenario that happened to be the one that dropped. So there's just so many different things that happen within those, like, those last games. And that's why teams prepare for those situations in the ways mm-hmm. like they do. But there are going to be times where even the best of people that prepare aren't able to combat what happens, like, on the other side. Sometimes that's just how basketball works. And, I mean, that's the beauty of college basketball, because right. you never know what's going to be, like, what's going to happen. And, I mean, they've shown, like, with the Big 12, they came up with a tweet that said, like, the probability of Arizona and Houston winning on, like, the weekend with the way that play, they had, like, it was like a 1.9% chance for Arizona to win at 2 seconds, with 2 seconds left in the game. And then for Houston was 0.4% chance to win at Allen Fieldhouse with that 6-point lead deficit that they were in with like 15 right. seconds or whatever to go. So this is just one of those scenarios that everything fell in line for both right. Houston and Arizona, but that's something that is not going to happen all the time. This is just something that, like, so statistically improbable. Not saying, well, actually, it's like, I'm not, let me clarify what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. It just right. so happens that there are such low odds of it that you don't right. expect it to happen.
And it did. So, I mean, it did. So let's just move on and let's go on to the next game. Now, obviously, do you have any concerns after this game or anything that's, like, pressing you possibly that could be an issue down the line?
I think definitely just having matchups, like the way Arizona was able to guard, they had guards that could match the length and were better at length when it comes to defending Iowa State. I mean, obviously, was it KJ Lewis did a really nice job on shutting down Curtis Jones. I mean, he held Curtis Jones to his worst performance in conference play. So mm-hmm. that just shows that they did a really good job of preparing and they had the right guys to do it. So, but a lot of teams are not going to have the length that Arizona does. Because right. we mentioned, like, those matchups with the way, like, the front court for Arizona matchup against our front court. And we talked about some of the guards, like Caleb Love and Jaden Bradley. They were a matchup. That matchup was to look out for. And, I mean, they certainly showed up. And I think it's just a case of us running into some length that we ultimately were not able to deal with. They just simply yeah. dominated us. And, I mean, it helps having a raucous crowd like the McHale Center. I think we said, like, the McHale Center would play a factor. I mean, it certainly did.
Yeah, it was absolutely loud in there. So, I mean, Iowa State falls to 7-2 in the Big 12. So they are 1.5 games behind Houston and a half game behind Arizona. But with that being said, let's go and now take a look around the Big 12.
Yeah, there was some, like, Big 12 chaos that did happen. I mean, I think we had a couple, there were a few close calls in the Big 12.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I can pull up my screen here, hopefully. But let's go take a look here. Let me see. Was there anything Monday? Nope. Okay, so we were the lone Big 12 game on Monday. There was Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. That was a close game, but ultimately Texas Tech won. So they're still in the race for, like, the top 4 seed. But yeah, Tuesday, yesterday, there was quite a bit of crazy, like, close games that happened. I mean, the big obvious one here is going to be Kansas against UCF. Kansas squeaking out a 91-87 victory over the UCF Knights. So this has been two games in a row for Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse that have gone, like, that have gone down to the wire.
I mean, we were talking about in the last podcast, is KU going to be KU? So, I mean, like, I'll ask you this, Cody. Like, with these last two performances, do you have some type of, or some sort of confidence going into Allen Fieldhouse going next Monday when we play Kansas?
I think, yeah, this one, this game at, like, Allen Fieldhouse is much, it's very winnable. It's very winnable. Obviously, you're going to get Kansas' bet. Like, Allen Fieldhouse is an elite, like, atmosphere. Don't get me wrong. It's a very difficult place to play. But with the way that Kansas has been playing as of late, I think there is a world where Iowa State is able to really, like, be able to get a win. I mean, with the way UCF played, you're like, they were going blow for blow almost, and they did a good job at limiting turnovers. This is, I think, was a key factor in UCF staying in the game for as long as they did, was limiting turnovers. Now, that's something that Iowa State needs to do a better job at, is taking care of the basketball, because against Arizona, they turned the ball over 18 times, and yeah, you usually don't win basketball games when you turn it over that many times. So the key thing that I need to see from Iowa State is doing a much better job at taking care of the basketball, securing the ball off the pass, or securing rebounds, because there were a few times where we had a chance, but either us not being able to, failing to secure the basketball off a pass, or securing the rebound. Those are things that build up that will cost us the game, so that's got to be something that needs to be worked on for Iowa State in order to win at Allen Fieldhouse. But I've made it, like, between Kansas and Houston, Kansas is the much more winnable game compared to Houston. Like,
I agree.
Those two road trips, so. And, I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to pull, like, what Keyshawn Hall did. I mean, if you get a guy that scores 34 points, I mean, that will keep you in the game. But just a pretty decent, like four guys being in double digits, what with obviously Keyshawn Hall with 34. So you kind of need to be able to keep up, go both blow for blow with Kansas. But there are some ways you can expose Kansas. I mean, we did see what happened when our bigs went up against their bigs. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Joshua Jefferson, DeSean Jackson were able to bully Hunter Dickinson, and Hunter Dickinson was held to only 6 points. So,
right,
if you're able to limit the front court, you could force Zeke Mayo to basically carry the squad, and that's basically what happened in Hilton Coliseum. And look how that turned out for him. But also, they had a couple guys step up off the bench. So, just the big thing I need to see out of Iowa State is limiting turnovers, securing defensive rebounds, and taking smarter shots. Those are the things I need to see out of them. But with this game, the big obvious thing that people were talking about on Twitter last night, was that a shooting foul or not a shooting foul?
I did not see what happened.
So I believe it was on, I don't remember which player it was, but it was, I think, either Darius Johnson or Keyshawn Hall. They were inbounding the ball, so it's kind of a similar situation to what we had. And you saw the player go up. Kansas fouls a player, but they call it on the floor rather than calling it a shooting foul. And some people are arguing that the offensive player was in his shooting going up to shoot a shot, so he should have had three free throws, but they didn't give it to him. And some fans were not happy about that. They were saying, like, it was just the inconsistencies, I believe, because there were also a number of situations where that similar play happened that they did call a shooting foul, but they didn't call it in that case.
Right.
I would have to find the play, but that's, like, kind of the rundown. And a lot of fans are saying it's the fog, like, the whistle at the fog. They're saying it, like, it's coming back.
We'll see. You already know what happens when Iowa State plays at KU. You already know, so I'm already mentally preparing myself.
Yep. Before that, we'll take a look at some other games that happened around the Big 12 last night. Arizona State and Colorado going down to the wire. Now, I didn't watch this game because, I mean, I was doing something else. Colorado almost getting the win.
Yeah, that second half, they scored 42 points. I mean, like, I believe it was...
Let me see here. Hammond, yeah, so I'm trying to find, like, the last 5 minutes or so. So it was... Okay. It just felt like... So this game, from what it looks like, was Arizona State always being able to keep Colorado at bay.
Gotcha.
I think that's what it looks like. Because, like, even though the score is close, I mean, Arizona State just did a really nice job at not allowing Colorado to get over the hump. And even on a day where Arizona State turned the ball over 17 times, they held Colorado to 23.5% shooting from three. And a Miller with, well, starters, I mean, 7 of 22 from three compared to 4 of 17.
Right.
So, I mean, Arizona State with a nice job, like, good response after almost having to win against Iowa State.
Yeah.
To lose it late and to come back, like, and then to rebound with a win over still winless Colorado conference play. So their tournament hopes, like, could still be alive, honestly. They still have hopes to be in the bubble. It's very slim pickings there. It's a very slim margin between making and missing the tournament for Arizona State. But I guess this. Do you think Arizona State has the capability of making it to March? Take a look at their schedule.
So they have, what, 8 games left? No, they're 2 and...
11.
11, okay. If they win, they probably would have to go 7-4 in the last 11, probably.
Mm-hmm.
To really be comfortable. But, like, they're probably going to have to win a few games in the conference tournament.
Make a decent run? Okay.
Yeah. Because I just like, with the schedule, like, I see some wins, but, like, Texas, you got Texas Tech, TCU is, like, they're on a slide, but TCU can jump up and get them. K-State has been playing a lot better. BYU is playing well. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, and we saw Utah, like, win last night against Cincinnati. So, like,
mm-hmm.
Utah's not going to be easy. So, yeah, they're going to have to play a better brand of basketball than they ever have this season.
Yeah, I think they got to get a huge win. Whether they get 2 games against Arizona, so they got to pick up one win against Arizona to get that marquee win. And number two, if they can somehow pull it off, upset Houston or Texas Tech in Lubbock.
Yeah, like you got to get those marquee wins. They have yet to have a marquee win this season. So yeah, if you're able to knock off like a Tech or a Houston, that would be good for their resume. That's really the only way I say, or like we said before, them running and getting going on a run and in the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we mentioned BYU and Utah playing much better. They both were in the state, like they both hosted home games. Kind of a, I don't know, like, if it really plays much, but it's just, like, having those teams both play home against the state of Utah. BYU taking it to overtime against Baylor to ultimately pull up the 4-point win, and then Utah able to get that 3-point win against Cincinnati. The big story, I feel like, for Baylor has just been, again, I think it's just one of those games where, like, you as Baylor, you would think you get this, but you fall short, though Vijay Edgecombe led Baylor with 28 points. You were shooting 46% from three compared to BYU shooting 38. How did...
Well, the thing is, I think one of the things is, bro, that they also shot 55% from the field. Like, when you shoot 55% from the field, you basically are making every single thing.
Like, yeah.
They shot 50%, but when you give up 55% shot percentage, like you're not gonna, it's gonna be tough to win games. Like that.
Yeah, and also, free throws turned out to be a pretty big reason.
I mean, 16 of 24, that's horrible.
Yeah, versus 21 of 26. So those are a couple points here and there throughout the game that really play a factor. BYU and Baylor now both tied 5-4 in conference. fighting for possibly like being in the top half of the league. And another one of those games where Baylor's just aren't the same. They're not the same Baylor that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, teams have down years, but Baylor has sort of been on like this weird downturn at the last few years. So it's weird. And like, just like we said, Cincinnati just continues their slide. They fall to 2-7 in the Big 12 with a really bad loss at Utah State.
Yeah, Cincinnati is just, they're in a bit of a crisis. I'm not sure what you do if you're Wes Miller. I'm not sure. It's a long shot to really. And, I mean, with Cincinnati, take a look at their schedule. Things, I mean, there are some opportunities to get some wins. I mean, UCF, that's as unpredictable as it is, but that could be, you could possibly win that game, but this is going to be an unpredictable game. Well, he's looking a little more difficult. Utah, obviously, you just lost to. So, I mean, they're going to have a chip in their shoulder, so they could win this one. And then they got to travel to Ames, which is never a fun trip for anybody, and then go to Morgantown back-to-back. So these two games are never a fun road trip to have back-to-back. TCU, I mean, TCU's a little, like, they're on a bit of a skid, too, but they can play ball. Yeah.
At Houston. Houston, yeah.
You host Kansas State. Who knows, like, what form Kansas State has by that point. And then you're in your regular season at Stillwater.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on how this team is playing and what the psyche of this team is.
Because
usually, like, once you're, like, sort of out of it, sometimes teams will zone out the coach. So we'll see what happens and see if they can turn it around.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Today, I mean, so we take a look. That was yesterday's slate. Now, we do have some Big 12 games today. The big one, I think, for Iowa State fans to watch out for has to be Houston at West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying that Houston's going to run the table, but I mean, I feel like this could be, if anything, West Virginia gets up for big games anytime when a top-ranked team, especially a top-10-ranked team, comes into town. We were victims of it a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect West Virginia to be there, but Houston plays a type of ball that's very, very dominant and tough, so I don't expect Houston to go down without a fight.
Yeah, I think Houston, they play a ball style of basketball that's very similar to Iowa State. Mm-hmm. Like Iowa State and Houston basically play a similar style. And West Virginia, like they have the scouting report on how to handle that type of defense and that type of team. So that's, West Virginia has that advantage. And they also have that advantage playing at home. And I mean, they want to get back at Houston because if you remember, I think a few weeks ago, West Virginia was in Houston and they had closed the gap to, I believe, a 1-point gap before Houston ultimately ran away with it. So West Virginia is capable of playing up to Houston's level. It's just a matter of can they like do it again and be able to really have Javon Small have another performance like Monty Hansberry did against Iowa State, or maybe Joe Yesufu steps up as well. So West Virginia's going to be looking for that.
Yeah, I those three, like you said, those three players are going to be key in this game in order for West Virginia to pull off the upset. What are your thoughts on TCU and Tech?
Texas Tech, I mean, they're finally, it's about time for them to really garner some respect, like at least in ranking-wise, and they've been playing pretty well. I mean, we talk about Darren Williams, JT Toppin, Christian Anderson. All those guys have, like, they play really good, and I think Texas Tech can find themselves in a really good spot. And I mean, they're playing well. They're getting hot at a pretty good time and be able to get TCU and playing at the USA, never easy. So I think Texas Tech, they're going to continue on their bit of a hot streak here. Yeah, they're on a 4-game win streak ever since that 1-point loss to Iowa State in overtime. They've won 4 in a row, including that 16-point win over Arizona. So I think this is going to be a good game for Texas Tech to build up like more confidence before they have to go on the road at the Fertitta Center to take on Houston.
Yeah, I mean, and then we go down to the last game of the night. We have Oklahoma State going into Bramlage to play K-State.
Now, like you mentioned, Kansas State has been playing much better. They obviously got that win over West Virginia, so I think Kansas State, they're starting to find their stride a little bit here in Big 12 play, and I think this will be a good way for Kansas State to build up a little more momentum before they have to travel to Hilton Coliseum to take on Iowa State. And, I mean, for Kansas State, they should not be looking ahead to us. I mean, you know Kansas State would love nothing more as an arch rival to put another nail, like to put another road bump in our season, whatever. But they still need to be able to take care of business against Oklahoma State. And I mean, that's just a thing. So I expect Kansas State to really be able to be able to take care of business against Oklahoma State. But Oklahoma State did give Texas Tech a little bit of the scaries in Lubbock.
They sure did. So, I mean, like, my philosophy with this conference is that you can get got any night of the week. This conference is bananas, bro.
Right.
So, I mean, like, honestly, with Higher Racing, are they going to run the table? Y'all, stop. Don't let your emotions run how you feel. Yeah. Or, no, obviously, not emotion. I was running how you feel. Don't let, like, your emotions cloud how crazy this conference is. Because, I mean, in one week, things can change.
Right.
So we think that we're not out of it, but who knows? We're not saying that it will happen, but hey, Houston could lose two in a row and they could be right back in it. So, I mean, don't give up now.
Yeah,
let's see what happens.
Yeah, real quick, before we could take a look at Saturday, because that's going to be a huge game for Iowa State. Houston, yeah, they've got at West Virginia and then against Texas Tech. So right. Those are two games. Yeah, so these could possibly, Texas Tech could possibly go to Fertitta and give Houston a punch in the mouth, or West Virginia could do so. So, I mean, there's a few games in between right now and us traveling to the Fertitta Center. So, who knows? And then Arizona.
And they got to go to Arizona. So, like, I mean.
And Arizona is playing pretty well. Like,
yeah.
I think I said this before the game, before the Arizona game. I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona pulls off the win just because of how they've been playing. Their metrics look way better than their record, because I think
they were ranked 14th in KenPom.
Yeah. So their numbers speak better than their actual record, because like five of their losses, they were quad ones. So it's not like Arizona's losing to bad teams. I mean, it's just them trying to figure out the stride. And once they did in Big 12 play, they figured it out. Now they have that signature win. Tommy Lloyd and company can build off that company. And I mean, I just got to give quick credit to Tommy Lloyd, because he respects Iowa State. So he's given that respect. He's given the nod, because, yeah, I mean, that's just great to see. And I mean, Arizona has just been such a great, like them in Houston, great additions, because it's been fun to bolster up basketball now and to add those two brands. It's really nice. So I cannot wait for the return game when Arizona has to experience Hilton Coliseum. I can't wait for that.
That is going to be in. That was that, Mark?
Yeah, that's the day Iowa State's dropping the Olympic banner for Tyrese Halliburton. And we're wearing gold that game, so I'm thinking we're busting out those gold uniforms.
Yes, that's going to be sick with the Script Cyclones. I love those.
Yep. But before that, we guys got to take a look at some top 25 matchups here. And then, actually, we'll take a look at the Big 12 this Saturday slate. At noon, you get the duel in the desert between Arizona and Arizona State. Arizona State for sure is going to get up for this game, because you know they want to be able to knock off Arizona. And, I mean, this is an in-state rivalry. So you throw all metrics, all analysis, you throw all that out the window when you're dealing with an in-state rivalry, or any rivalry that is to that level.
Yeah, man. That game is rivalry games. Like we Iowa gave us all we can handle in the Cy-Hawk game, so I wouldn't expect this to be easy. But that one, I mean, in rivalry games, you throw the records out the window. Let's see what happens. I'm definitely that's probably something I'll tune into a little bit before the for Farmageddon Basketball Edition. But yeah, I like that one. It's going to be a fun Saturday. Look at all these matchups. And then we go to, I don't really have that much to say about Utah, Oklahoma State, so I'm going to skip that one. So Kansas and Baylor, KU, we've talked a lot about KU, but let's see what the Foster Pavilion has for Baylor, because they're only one game behind. They only are one game behind Kansas in the standing.
So yeah, this will be it's Big 12 race for those two to get a better position for them, and then BYU UCF. BYU, I believe this is their first trip down Addition Financial. So I mean, who knows what UCF you get? And UCF's coming off pretty good performance against Kansas, and I mean, they're feeling that loss. So I think that UCF's going to have that chip in their shoulder because they knew they played well that game. I think they want to carry that. And against BYU, UCF, like, I think they could go off.
Dude, there's going to be tons of points in this one. UCF is really just trying to bolster their NCAA tournament resume. I mean, they're 13-7. They're 4-5 in the Big 12. So, I mean, you still got plenty of chances, but this getting a win over a good BYU team would be a quality win and would be a quad one win.
Yes. Yeah, and you're saying, like, you're talking about offense. Yeah, whatever the over is for BYU-UCF, I don't bet, but if I did, I'd take the over. I'm expecting a lot of fireworks in this game. And then before our game on Saturday, we already mentioned Texas Tech-Houston. Very important game for both teams. Houston looking to continue their run in the, like, continue to be the last undefeated team in the Big 12, while Texas Tech is looking for another marquee win after that win against Arizona. They're looking for a second one. What better way to do it than to do it at the Fertitta Center, where it for the last, like, what, year and a half in the Big 12, they've been practically impenetrable at the Fertitta Center.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll see if Houston comes into this game 9-0 or 8-1. I mean, because if you think about this, let's say they come in and let's say Tech wins and then they win again in Fertitta, then you'll really have a cluster of teams at 8-2. Like, that wouldn't that be something?
So saying that Houston could be, so they could have that loss
in Morgantown, and
yep,
they could have
so that would be 8-1. Yeah, they lose at home. Yeah, you put them at 8-2, and then if Arizona State pulls off the upset, Arizona would be 8-2,
and then that's the door right for us again.
Yeah, and that's where we get to Iowa State, Kansas State. Now, this one, obviously, I think Brett Bloom said it best on Williams and Bloom. This is going to probably be the angriest Hilton has been in quite a while, because number one, you're coming off a loss where you felt like you should have won the game, but you didn't. Number two, this is Kansas State, so it's already Farmageddon. And number three, the antics of Jerome Tang from last year and the continued antagonization of Iowa State from Kansas State. So those three things are going to contribute to Hilton probably being the angriest that I have ever been in, ever been to. I don't think I'll see Hilton Coliseum that's angrier than what is to come on Saturday. I said this immediately after the Iowa State-Arizona game, once I had some time to really process what happened in Arizona.
Yeah.
I said Kansas State is walking in to an EF5. You might have to bust out an EF6 for how much anger Iowa State is going to put on Kansas State.
I agree. So, like, do you have? Let's look ahead. Let's like dive deeper. And are there any players for you that catch your eye or that could possibly be an issue?
I mean, obviously the big name that, like, when it comes to the poster boy of Kansas State is going to be Coleman Hawkins. And Coleman Hawkins was a part of that Illinois squad that beat Iowa State in the Sweet 16 last year. So there might still be a little bit of that bad blood, because most of the roster that was on the Sweet 16 last year, Keyshawn Gilbert, Taman Lipsy, Curtis Jones, Elon Momchilovich, they remember Coleman Hawkins' face alongside with him and TSJ basically ruining their bid to go to the Elite Eight last year. So they're going to remember that. And then David and Gasan has been a solid piece for Kansas State as well. So, I mean, so those two guys are going to be people to look out for. And then I would say also, Brendan Hassan is another guy to watch out for. Guard, he's another guy you'll have to watch out for because he can get you a few points here and there. He does think that really opened up the offense for K-State. Then you get both, I would say, like Max Jones probably, and then Doug McDaniel. So these are a few names that you really got to look out for Kansas State. I mean, they're finding form, and I mean, nothing better for them. Then, like, they got the chance because, like, they have nothing to lose, really, because they have slim to none margins to even make the NCAA tournament. So they have nothing to lose. They're going to come in, obviously. They want it. It's a rivalry. They would love nothing more than to ruin our season some more. So, I mean, that's what Iowa State has to prepare for. But I think Iowa State, because they played on Monday, they've had a couple extra days to really process the loss to try to get over it so that way they aren't hung over on the loss for when this game happens on Saturday. And now you're at the confines, Hill and Coliseum. So I think this will be just something. I think Iowa State truly, Iowa State comes out swinging. And I just think Kansas State is walking into a buzzsaw because you know Iowa State, like the atmosphere is just going to be, this is going to be so hostile for Kansas State. And then to add on to Iowa State and how they play basketball at home, it's going to be a long day for Kansas State as far as I see. So I think Iowa State, they get back in the win column and I think they do it convincingly just with all, number one, all the extra noise on the outside, but also internally because those players on the long trip back home, they want to correct what happened on Monday. They want to correct it. So this will be a great opportunity for them to do so.
Definitely. So I wanted to bring something up real quick. So I got, you know, I was on, you know, on my phone and I got an email and it's this from this place called FeedSpot. It's this, basically, it is a podcast portal that will rank different shows. So FeedSpot was doing a list on the top 30 Iowa sports class. And there are panelists. And obviously, like I said, there's a top 30 Iowa sports podcast. This show, Believe in Iowa State, came in at number 13. So, you guys, we are, the Believe in Iowa State podcast is a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa. Like, from me and Cody, we just thank you so much and for, like, you know, dealing with us, really supporting us, all our family, friends, all the random listeners, and others, live stream tickles, all y'all. Like, we really love you guys, and, like, we do our best to give you the most quality content to give you guys twice a week. Thank you for joining us during football season and off season. We have so much more stuff planned. I just wanted to end the show with that. And once again, thank you guys for listening to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. As always, we can both be found on Twitter. This is my Twitter handle at SciTiGuy. I'm Tyler. And then Cody, he can be found at Matt Campbell Impersonator. And also, here you are. And I made the slide more extensive. Here are all of our ways that you can find us on social media. So once again, we thank you guys for your support. And join us on either Sunday or Monday as we do our reaction show to the K-State. And also previewing the Kansas game.
Yeah. And I'll interrupt you. Sorry, Tyler. But I mean, I'm going to be there like Saturday. So if you see me, like, come say hi. Like, you know where to find me. I'm usually in the front row for all these basketball games. So let's come say hi. I like to, we could just talk basketball. Or you want to talk about podcasts. Very much appreciate it. Just having like my perspective, I think it's very unique because being a current student, it provides like such a different view. And I'm just glad that I'm able to really share that perspective from where I'm at, just being a current student, being able to get to see all this in person.
Yeah, not like that's what I'm saying. Like, especially like for a person like me that doesn't even live in the state, like that makes this even cooler. And the fact that we still haven't met yet, we're going to meet at some point. Or I will find a way, or I will buy you a ticket to Kansas City so we can find it. Like, yeah. And then if y'all see me, like, I'll be in Kansas City for the Big 12 basketball tournament. So just come up and say hi. Or if you have any questions about the pod, ask. But with all that, you guys, thank you guys for tuning in. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Van Cielalum.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Corn is greater than wheat.
Yes, sir.